worshipping in that last song, when we were singing about God being all powerful, it just came into my mind, you need to incline your ear for what I'm doing. And for some reason, I couldn't stop putting my hand behind my ear all the way through the song. And I just feel like the Holy Spirit did it. So can you just put your hand? This is the sound we're going to hear this morning. Chains snapping. We're going to hear chains on lives and on hearts and on situations snapping this morning. So let's believe for that together, yeah? Okay, well, I'm Paul Moores, and I only live a few miles away. I live at Squire's Gate with my lovely wife, Lou, who's at the back. Please say hello to her. She's very shy. She's the small blonde one, so just look out for her. Okay. And it's lovely to be with you. I had a coffee some weeks ago with John and chatted somewhat about what a great partnership Wycliffe Bible Translators and the Assemblies of God are forming across our nation. And that's really why I'm here this morning, is to talk about the fact that as a mission across the nations of the world, we are in very close partnership with Assemblies of God. And I know that John here is wanting all involved in Hope Church Lytham to be part of that army, because we are an army. We're in a battle. Every nation that we go into, every nation we are even invited into, there is a battle. And the battle is this: the enemy does not want this to be put into the hands of people. And that's exactly what we are doing. That's our mission. Wycliffe Bible Translators can do a million and one things, but I will share something with you in a minute that will let you know that it's all about putting the Word of God into people's hands. 700 years ago, there was an amazing man called John Wycliffe, who, with a number of his friends in this nation, had a realization that the people needed God's word in the language they spoke every day. At that point, if you'd have come to church on a Sunday morning 700 years ago, everything from the front here would have been in Latin, and it would have gone over all of your heads, and the people at the front would have gone home thinking, we know a lot and they don't know very much. And they wanted it to stay that way. And John Wycliffe and his friends and his compatriots actually took a century to turn all of that around until we had the whole Word of God in English. And now you can go to a Christian bookstore and buy 63 different versions in English. What a debt we owe him, don't we? If he'd have lived, he would have been 700 this year. He didn't quite make it. He died at the age of 83. But we are celebrating the 700th anniversary of the birth of John Wycliffe this year. And we have an event later in the year, which again, I'll be talking to John about, because we're talking to all our partner churches about, called Walk for the Word. And basically what it is we are looking to fund certain key projects that we're involved in through our supporters walking. And so you can either do an individual 7-kilometer walk, or a house group or life group all together can do 70 kilometers between you, or a whole church can do 700 kilometers between you. Now, if only two turn up, that's going to be some walk, isn't it? But if a whole church get behind it, hopefully you'd be able to do the full 700. So anyway, there's more details about that. I have Yvonne as my wing woman this morning, so if ever I shout out, the slides behind me are going to change, and it's all because of Yvonne at the back there, okay? So next slide, please, Yvonne. I mentioned that we are involved in one key thing at Wycliffe, and this is our vision statement. You know, a lot of people say to me, an organization like Wycliffe that's all about words and all about linguistics and all about that sort of thing, you're going to have a vision statement that's like a big document like that, that you drop it and it goes boom. But actually, it's all summed up in this one statement. we are aiming, we are targeting a world where everyone can at least have the opportunity to know Jesus through the Bible. And that is opening up so many opportunities for us in so many different types of nations, types of communities. And I'll share some of those things with you this morning because it is well exciting. There is so many exciting things taking place on planet Earth right now. The kingdom of God, as was prayed earlier, is exploding. And sometimes we don't hear that stuff. And this morning I want you to go away knowing we're part of a kingdom that is ever, ever increasing. Next slide, please. We have, you will see it in reception afterwards. I'd love to talk to as many of you as I can. I have a table there with some literature for you to take away. But there's also a banner there at the side of it, which highlights the main project that Assemblies of God are involved in. But also there is a fact on that banner, which actually always, I think, shocks people. And we don't really share it to shock. We share it really just to let you know what a task we still have left on planet Earth to reach the nations. And this is the statistic. 1 in 5 people alive on planet Earth today, that's 20% of the people, that's 1.5 billion people, do not have the Bible in the language they speak every day. That's quite a shocking statistic in 2024, isn't it? 1 in 5 people do not have access to the life-giving word of God in the language they speak at home, that they speak with each other. This really is just to show the sort of nations we're involved in and see the gap, that 20% gap that exists. I've already had you touching your ears. I'm now going to ask you to close your eyes. Would you just close your eyes just for a moment? The reason I'd like you to do that is this. I'd like you to think back to the first day or first time or first event or first conversation when you first realized that Jesus loved you. And maybe that was the time that you could take it back to say, that was the day I was saved. Or that was the day I first took a step of faith. And as God takes us back to that moment, just ask him to remind you of perhaps a scripture or something you heard that night, something perhaps, well, from the Bible that has stuck with you all through the years since that first encounter with him. I'll give you just a minute or so, just for God to bring that to our memories. Okay. I hope that took you back to some lovely memories. I was brought up in Manchester. Most of my family weren't Christians, but my nana was part of the Salvation Army. So she used to take us to the Salvation Army, and then she moved to an Assemblies of God church in another part of Manchester. And we started to go, me and my cousin and my sister. And I'll be quite honest with you, I used to go on a Sunday night, and I loved being with my nana. But at that age, I was 14 at the time, and this is what was going on with me on a Sunday night. I was thinking about girls, music, and Manchester City. That was it. But that was my focus. Most of what I heard in those church settings in those early years went right over my head. And then one night, a guy was preaching, and he was preaching on the story of Jesus leaving the 99 to go after the one. And it was almost as if the room closed in on me. And it just felt he'd have done it even if it was just me. He would have sent this rescue mission. He'd have taken it on even if it had just been me. And that's what the Word of God does, isn't it? The Word of God is life. The things that God speaks to us from his Word, they are life to us. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds And yet, there are still 20% of the people on our planet who've got no access to that life. That's what we're about at Wycliffe. Hopefully that will give you an introduction to the sort of things we are about. Next slide, please, Yvonne. Every year we produce what we call the State of the Bible Report, which is sort of an update of what we've been doing during the previous 12 months, just to let people know these are the sort of things that are happening. And I'll be quite honest with you, we have one buzzword in the whole organization right now, and it is this word, acceleration. There are so many nations, so many people groups, so many ministers in all sorts of situations across the world contacting us and saying, we need you to translate the Bible into language for us. And this is reflected in our statistics for the last year. 367 new language projects started last year. That's more than one a day. That's quite amazing, isn't it? There were 49 full Bible or just New Testament translations finished within the year. That's quite amazing, isn't it? Next slide, please, Yvonne. There are over 3,000 language projects going on right now. I'm not sure if any of you know this statistic. It sort of knocked my socks off a bit when I first joined Wycliffe. But there are 7,500 languages on planet Earth right now. And I only learnt this a few weeks ago, but 350 of them are just in Nigeria. But we are involved in projects on almost half the languages on planet Earth, which is quite incredible, isn't it? But here's the statistic that I love to share with people. If I'd have been stood here on April the... What day is it? 7th. If I'd have been stood here on April the 7th, 2023, and get... if I'd have been stood here 12 months ago, I wouldn't have been able to say that 16 million people had this Bible in their hands, who today I can say they have. That's amazing, isn't it? 16 million people. And one of the amazing things, and I haven't had a chance to bring it with me this morning, but we've received quite recently a film of a launch of a new Bible being given to a people group in Senegal in West Africa. And there is a lady who, I don't know how old she is, but she sort of totters up to the front, takes the Bible that she's being given, and stands there just as if it's the most precious thing she's ever been given in her life. And all around her, it's like Party City. People are just dancing and singing. We've now got the Bible. That is the response to people who've been hearing about this Jesus, but actually now I can really get to know him. That's the sort of thing that we're taking into communities across the nations. I'm just going to share a few verses. Sorry, next slide, Yvonne, sorry. Just going to share a few verses. These are the verses that I'm just going to be doing a very short sermon from a bit later, so I just wanted to give you an appetite whetter. Jeremiah 18, verses 1 to 6. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house and saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hand. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. And just to say, thinking about what I'm going to be sharing later, most of my thoughts are about the potter. when you look at this verse, yes, there are two sides to it. There's us, we are the clay. This morning, I want us just to focus in on the potter, the one who's got us in his hands. And hopefully that will be something we can share together towards the end of my time up here. Next slide, please. Translation leads to transformation. Some of the amazing things that happen in the places where we are called to work, for instance, a lot of places where we're called to work, a big number of the people are not even literate. And so we go in and we start literacy classes. We get people's skills up to so that they can read before we then put into their hands the Word of God. But also, and again, this is something that you perhaps don't think of. I never did. What we're putting into their hands is things for, you know, the scripture, it says, I'll give you everything for life and godliness. The stuff for life. Mums are able to read the labels on tablet bottles so they give their kids the right doses. People are able to understand forms that are sent to them that need to be filled in so they can claim things that they are due. It changes whole communities and whole societies so that people are not exploited anymore. So yes, they're standing on the rock, Jesus. They're also standing in a new demeanor in life. We're arming people for life and for godliness. That's the sort of transformation that goes on in the nations where we're involved. I want to share a very quick story about another West African nation. I was mentioning Senegal earlier. There is a lovely man that is very involved with Wycliffe, and he has the wonderful name of Kodia Odar. And Kodia is from the nation of Togo. And Kodia was brought up in an animist family. From his very early days, he was being fast-tracked to become a voodoo priest. He was taken out of mainstream education, and all that his life was aiming towards was to become a voodoo priest in that religion. And when he was 15, he was invited by some of his friends to an event that was going on a couple of villages away from where he lived. He didn't know what the event was, and I don't think his friends did either, really. When they got there, it was a Christian gospel mission that was going on that had been run by some of the local churches there and Wycliffe Bible translators. And Kodia went into that meeting, and this is what he said. I never realized that there was a God who loved me until that night. I never realized there were two places you can go when you die, heaven and hell. Now I know I'm going to heaven. 14 years later, Kodia Odar now leads one of the largest Baptist churches in Togo. And he is, one of the great things was, as part of that mission that Wycliffe were involved in those years ago, we had just translated the language that he speaks every day, which is called Ife, I-F-E, but only the New Testament. And so he is a great champion for the language of Ife because he's really on our case to make sure that we finish the Old Testament project. Because he's trying to lead a church with no Jeremiah, no Genesis, no Psalms. We haven't completed the Old Testament yet because it's just been, there's a bit of a transiency about the peoples of that area. And so it's taken us a good number of years. It's almost completed. Those are the sort of stories that you are partnering with. Those are the sort of lifestyle changes and eternity destiny changes that we are involved in at Wycliffe. Next slide, please. I mentioned earlier that there is one particular project that the Assemblies of God are partnering with us on, and it is possibly our most exciting project, even though they're all exciting in different ways. But we were approached nearly 2 years ago now by a committee of pastors from five different nations in Central Europe. They had been meeting in Bucharest in Romania, and they were from Romania, Bulgaria, Serbia, Hungary, and Moldova. Five nations, and they had one thing in common. They were seeing a revival in their churches, but the common denominator was this: all the people that were coming to faith, or the vast majority, were from the Romani community. The travelers of Central Europe are coming to faith in their thousands. And they are spilling over into the mainstream churches. And here's the problem that they had, why they needed to form a committee. There are 16 different dialects of Romani. And some of them, even from town to town, are quite different, apparently. And so they asked us, would you try and put together one central Romani Bible for this explosion of people coming to faith? And we said, yes. And so we have completed the book of Acts. We have completed the book of John. And they are now out in these churches as an experiment. And the feedback we're getting is that they absolutely love this new translation. And that it seems to be, for want of a better phrase, scratching where it itches in all the different communities. And so, Assemblies of God, at not last year's conference, the conference before, took an offering at Harrogate at the conference there and gave us £5,500 towards the project. And they have now asked us, as we go around the churches, which I'll talk to you a little bit about, to ask the churches if they will get behind us, because this is going to be a 6 to 8 year project. And the amazing thing is this: just in the last few weeks, I've had people coming up who say, actually, I know a guy who's planting a church in North Macedonia, and he's seeing Romani people come to faith. And then somebody else came to me and said, I'm somewhere, I can't even remember where the other country was. And so this whole thing that's happening in this community has the potential to be the lighting of the blue touch paper for revival across the continent of Europe. Because how wonderful that it's happening in a people who are on the move. They're not staying in their own city and just evangelizing there. They're on the move. How great an evangelist is the Holy Spirit? I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll save a load of people who are going to be on the move the whole time. Sounds like a good plan, doesn't it? So that's another way that you can be partnering with us in this Romani project. Next slide, please. So what does it mean to be a partner with Wycliffe Bible Translators? There are three main ways that you can become a partner. One is you can join. Now, what does that mean? You can join Wycliffe Bible Translators. Well, you can either go onto our website and sign up so that you get regular newsletters, so you know what we're doing, the sort of things that are going on around the nations, as I've been talking about this morning. You keep in touch, basically, and you know what's going on within the organization. You can join us that way. We also have quite a number of volunteer roles here in the UK. So we have a number of proofreading roles where people help to proofread some of the translation work. We have people who organize prayer gatherings. We have all sorts of roles. And within our head office at Oxford, we have a team there who mobilize our UK-based volunteers. So if you've got an hour a week, or if you'd like to go on a short mission somewhere, or if you'd even like to go to the mission field itself, and you feel a particular nation on your heart, you can join us by saying, I'd like to be considered for some role within this whole thing. The third way that you can join us is to actually sign up to go on a course to learn how to be a missionary in the translation world. That's quite a big step, isn't it? My first 2 months when I was with Wycliffe, I was asked to do a road trip around the UK, meeting 37 families who've given their lives on the mission field. They said, mix with these guys for 2 months and you'll be completely changed. And I was. It was like living in heaven for 2 months. It was basically just talking about the mission field and drinking coffee for 2 months. That was it. And the stories of God's mercy and power and grace, and these people have literally just said yes to God, and they've gone to nations and given their whole lives and families. Next slide, please. Pray. Of the three things that I talk about to do with partnership, joining, the last one, which I'm not going to come onto just yet, the central one is always this: we need people to pray. As I mentioned before, the nations we are involved in, some of them are very hostile to the gospel. We have what we call our persecuted church projects, which are literally in nations where to be a Christian is literally taking your life into your own hands. I had the incredible privilege around about this time last year of going to a North African nation where we met with a group of Christians in a secret cellar underneath an old Anglican church, and all of the people that were there, none of their families knew that they were Christians. And it was quite humbling, really, because they absolutely loved Jesus with everything they've got, but they have to put a lid on it in the nations where they are. And so we need prayer, especially for those sort of nations, but literally for everything we're involved in. Next slide, please, Yvonne. One of the things up there I'm not even talking about this morning, because I've talked to John in a different way, but there is something I need to talk to you about. We started a project at the back end of last year called Give the Word. And the Give the Word project is this: we are looking for as many people as possible to sign up to a £10 a month direct debit commitment to us. So it's basically every month £10, so that the projects I've talked about this morning know we've got a regular coming in. And that was going, it was going okay. We started it around about October last year. Well, in fact, definitely October, because that's the start of our financial year. And it was ticking okay. Those last few months of last year, we've seen success with it and people signing up. In early January, we got an email, or my boss, the boss of Wycliffe, got an email from one of our major donors, a lovely guy who's been a supporter of Wycliffe for most of his life, quite a wealthy guy, quite elderly now. And he'd heard about this Give the Word project. And he sent this email into us and said this: if anybody in 2024 who signs up to this direct debit scheme, I will match it. And so every time anybody signs up, we now actually get £20 a month in the year of 2024. If you would like to be involved in that, and there's no pressure, we're certainly not that the sort of mission that are putting pressure on people for this, but we do need your money though. If you would like to sign up to that, please come and see me at my table at the end. We've got these forms to fill in, just to take your bank details. And your £10 a month is going to get doubled for the whole of this year. And God's really sort of, that's another thing about this acceleration thing, he's accelerating these partnerships to help us. Thank you. Next slide, please, Yvonne. Can we just pray and then we're going to look at God's word together? Father God, we are so grateful, Lord God, because we have your word. I think all of us would say that we do have times when we neglect your word, take it for granted, let it gather dust, maybe don't spend time in it as much as we should, Lord God. But we do this morning afresh just want to say, Lord, thank you so much for the life that is in your word. Thank you that it has birthed something within us, Lord God, that is going to see us through to eternity and everlasting life with you. And I thank you for your word this morning. As we look at it together, I do pray that you would quicken faith to our hearts, Lord God, and that we would hear those chains snapping, because we have a God who is with us with purpose this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm just going to read the verses again from Jeremiah that I read earlier, just to as a starting point, really. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands, and so the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O Israel. One of the wonderful things I think about Jeremiah is that the things that he declares, there's always an element of it where he hears the Lord and then sees something the Lord has shown him. The illustration that follows up what he hears from the Lord always comes in almost like a boom behind the things that he has heard. And right here, he paints this picture of the potter's house and then everything that's going on within that interaction between the potter and the clay. And it's all for our benefit. He wants us to see what it means for us to be in the hands of the potter. When I quite often, if I'm preaching or talking, like to sort of, because sometimes we can go away and we've highlighted lots of different things, and sometimes it's hard to narrow them down. I would love you to just go away with these two words ringing in your ears, with other things as well. But these two words have hit me every time I've looked at this whole subject, and it's this: remain pliable. Remain pliable. That's all God requires of us. If we remain pliable, what we become, what we allow him to make us, the way we allow him to shape us, the things he's able to pour into us, if we've remained pliable, there is no limitation. There's no limitation to what he can do through us, in us, and for us. It is a heart posture. I love that word posture. I've been talking about it quite a lot recently. Some of the guys that I sort of mix with in the church that I'm involved in over on the Isle of Man talk about heart posture quite a lot. And it basically means this. This is what, to have a soft heart posture means this: to be in subjection and full of obedience. What a great description that is, isn't it? To have that sort of heart posture where we're in subjection to God, so he knows best, in other words, we're his subjects, and we're full of obedience. Whatever he says, we'll do it, in other words. That's the pliability. Whatever he says, whichever shape he wants us to be, whatever he wants us to become, even if it's never crossed our minds before, for us to say yes, yes, God, he will do the rest. God's heart is always about revelation. He wants us to know him. He wants to reveal himself to us. He's always looking for us to be ready to hear more about him, to see more of him. He doesn't just want us to know about him. He wants us to know him. this heart thing, this being soft of heart, is actually relational. It's about us allowing him to shape our hearts, to change our hearts, to work upon areas that have got stiff and tough and resilient, over-resilient and over-self-dependent. This is what he wants to reveal. He wants to reveal his nature to us. He wants us to know what he's like. He wants us to know his glory. He wants us to know his mercy. I started to do a list. I thought, I'll bombard them with scriptures about his nature and his mercy. And we would have been here till about Wednesday, honestly. Just the list was just growing and growing. There's so many that you could say about who he is. And I think somebody once said, there's not enough libraries in the world that you could fill with books about Jesus and his nature and God and who he is. And that's true. And so what I decided, I felt God sort of lead me towards a song. I'm not going to sing. Thank you. Please don't empty the place, please. Yeah. Praise God indeed. And he doesn't even know me. The people that know me would be out of the door already now if they thought I was going to sing. But there is a wonderful song which I'm sure a lot of you will already know. And the words of it, I think, can help to sum up some of the things God wants us to know about him as we look at him as our potter, as the one who has us in his hands, and we want to say, what next? What next? This is who we're saying that to. It's a song called Indescribable by Chris Tomlin. From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. From the colours of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature's unique in the song that it sings, all exclaiming. You're indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. You're all powerful, untamable, awestruck, we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God. Who has told every lightning bolt where it should go, or seen heavenly storehouses laden with snow? Who imagined the sun and gave source to its light, and yet conceals it to bring us the coolness of night? No one can fathom. You're indescribable. You're uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. What a God. Just hit me then for a minute. He's amazing, isn't he? To be in the hands of the one who created all that we've just read about, every snowdrop that's ever fallen, every lightning bolt that's ever... And then just because we needed it, he got the balance between heat and coolness and... The amazing thing about our God is that this is never going to end. This work within us, you know that scripture that says it's going to be going on until the day of our salvation. The work he's begun in us. The workmanship of the potter started on that day that I talked about earlier. That first day when we realized somebody who loves us. It's going to go on forever. And it started from day one. So it's from day one forever. And I'm going to go back the furthest I could go back in the Bible, just to finish off, Genesis 1, 1 to 2. Can't go further back than that, can you? Unless you read the index at the beginning, but that'd be boring, wouldn't it? Genesis 1, 1 to 2. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. What a picture that is, isn't it? And that's still going on today, but he's now hovering over our lives. The Creator God is hovering over our lives, wanting to shape us, wanting to tweak us, wanting to challenge us, wanting to change us, wanting to mold us. And all he asks from us is, remain pliable. Because I've got something that you've not even thought about. I can make you somebody you've never even dreamed about becoming, not for our glory, for his glory. He's got plans for everybody in this room that have not even entered our hearts or minds yet. Now you know why most of my deliberations putting this word together are about the potter and not about the clay. Because he has got a plan for each of our lives that is going to shape us into being ready for heaven ultimately. But it's going to make us the most fruitful we can be. Going to make us the most fulfilled we can be. Going to make us know him the way he wants us to know him. Are we going to, should we go into a song, John? Yeah. We've got one more song we're going to sing, I think. And then, should we stand up together? If you felt when we were talking about the chain snapping earlier, if the Lord dropped into your heart something that you thought, I need that to snap, we're just going to close our eyes for a few minutes. If that was you, if there was something you think, there's something, I know God wants to snap it this morning. So if you all just close our eyes, just raise your hand if you'd just like me to pray for you right now. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, let's just pray. Father God, we incline our ear and we hear you snapping every chain this morning, Lord God. I do pray that in this fellowship of your family here, Lord God, that the next time they gather, that the people who've raised their hands this morning will have testimony of the fact that you have snapped chains that they thought could never be snapped, Lord God. That habits will be broken, that sicknesses will be broken, that pressures will be loosened, Lord God. I do pray, Lord God, that darkness would turn to light, that fear would turn to hope, that depression would turn to joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship him together.